Amen. Let's all lift our hands this afternoon in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this building today. Amen. Come on, lift your hands today. Amen. Come on. Come on, lift your hands in the building today. Amen. Amen. I feel the Lord in the house. Come on, let the Lord talk to you right now. Amen. Come on, the atmosphere has been set. Amen. The table has been prepared. Amen. Come on, lift your hands right now. God, we love you. We need you today, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's press on just a little bit longer. Come on, press on just a little bit longer. Amen, amen, amen. He's in this place. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 16. While you're turning to Matthew chapter 16, amen, I love what I feel in the house. Amen. We are in, without a shadow of a doubt, we are in, the church is in uncharted territory. Amen. We are, I believe that we all been pushed in the corner. And, amen. I believe that if there ever was a time or an hour for you to serve God, this is the time. Amen. This is the hour. And, amen. We had a great time this weekend. And it's always good to escape away with friends and go somewhere where you have no cell phone service, no signal. Thank God for that. Turn that little thing off and don't have to worry about you. Just block everything out. Amen. But at the end of the day, we all have problems. And we're living in that day and hour. Amen. That which is good is being spoken evil of. And we sit back, we cross our arms, and we fold our legs, and we wonder, amen, where is God? But I want to preach today, for sorry. I don't want to take a lot of time, but I just felt the Lord just sort of dropped something on me this morning. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or even one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I want to know who you say that I am. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied by saying, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then he goes on to say, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not, everyone say, prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I believe today with all of my heart, church, that it is time for revival. I believe that now is the time. I want to preach today on the thought, the year of the prevailing church. The year of the prevailing church. Why don't you close your Bibles? Amen. And why don't you lift your hands and let's pray one more time. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for what we feel today, God. We've come to revive. We've come to restore and renew. And I pray, God, that you bless the house today, God. Bless us today, God, with your word today, God. I'm not the speaker, but you are. God, make up for my shortcomings today. God, I need you right now, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say in Jesus' name. Why don't you look at somebody and say, my, you look nice today. And if you're going to help me preach, you can be seated. If not, you can remain standing. In Jesus' name. Amen. I believe today that we are living in difficult times. And it doesn't take a scientist to tell you today that we're living in perilous times. Amen. The Bible says in the last days, evil men shall wax worse and worse. The Bible lays out to us things that will happen in the last days. It speaks about the seducing spirits in the last days. And we can take that as a doom and gloom situation. But also in that last days, Jesus said, I will pour out my spirit among all flesh in that very last day. And I believe today that we're living in that last day. Amen. And if we're not careful, we will let the things around us convince us that life is not going to get any better. If we're not careful, we will focus on the things that do not matter instead of focusing on the goal, which is to make heaven our home. I believe that a world in chaos needs a church in revival. I believe that a world that is hurting needs a church in revival. I believe that, amen, that your neighbors need revival. I believe that your homes need revival. And if you walked in this building today, you need revival. Before a church can ever reach a world that is lost, amen, we have to first be revived, restored, and renewed. I don't believe that the world is looking for something that's going to just a quick fix, but I believe that the world is looking for something that is real, that is pure, and that is genuine. Can I let the church know today, amen, that what you have is the real deal? Amen. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Not a lot of churches or not many churches, but I'm going to establish my church on the earth. I'm going to establish a church, amen, that's based upon the principles, except the man be born again of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'm going to establish my church based upon this fact. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. His church, the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against God's church. Amen. Before we can ever, amen, stop and get excited, hear me today, that the church is under attack. Amen. The church is being bombarded from all corners. And I believe, friend, if you've never prayed, this is the hour to pray like you've never prayed before. Come on. We don't need some hamby-bamby prayer warriors, but we need people who will pray when it's not proper to pray. When the world says be silent, we need people who will establish this fact that I'm going to pray in spite of the difficulty of this hour. I'm gonna pray. And we're pushed into a corner. Amen. We're pushed into the Bible speaks about this Hannah, I believe, that when she was provoked by the enemy, the first thing that she did was she found her a place, amen, to pray. Can I tell you, friend, it doesn't matter what society does, we still gotta keep praying. Because when Peter was in jail, the church kept praying. When Paul was in jail, the church kept praying. When you were in your situation, the church kept praying. And when you were sick and lost, somebody kept praying. I would pray above all else that we establish the fact that we still gotta pray. Pray will open up prison doors. Pray. Prayers can turn your situation around. Amen. Prayers can cause God to come down and God to heal your body. They can take away my home. You can take away my finances, but you're not going to take away the fact that I'm going to pray when it's not popular prayer. I'm going to pray. So the church has been pushed into a corner. I heard one man say, amen, will the real church please stand up? Hear me. For you're going to be pushed into a corner where you're going to have to make a choice. I'm trying to preach you where we are right now. I don't have the time to preach something that'll make you feel good. I'm trying to preach heaven into somebody and pull somebody out of hell and to let you realize that the day is coming where you're going to have to make a choice. The day is coming where you're going to have to make a choice. It's one thing to talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? It's not enough just to come to church and sit back and relax. It's not enough just to come here, amen, and say, well, I just got invited. But when you come to the house of God, your life, listen, I'm sick and tired of having to stay at home and preach to congregations all by myself. I got so sick and tired of having to preach on the internet. But now I'm back into the house of God. I refuse to stay home. It's okay, but will the real church stand up? We've got to let our voice be known. We've got to shout it from the rooftop. We're not going to be in a corner. We're not going to be silent. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? And the world tells us, it doesn't take all that. We don't need all that. And the more sound that the world makes with the political agendas, hear me, I'm not here a politician for nobody. The world with all of their social injustice, and we've got all racism on every corner, and we've got division in the body of Christ. And the devil says, where's the real church? I don't like you because you go to this church. And I don't like you because you this color. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching about real issues in the day the church has to deal with. And people will come here with their issues. The Bible says, let the dead bury the dead. The Bible says that the dead praise not the Lord. People come in here, Brother Weir, because they heard that there is life in the church. They're sick and tired of shaking the preacher's hand and going home the same way they came. They're sick and coming to the house of God and going home worse than when they came. But when they come to the church, when they have an encounter with God, there's something here that will change their life. I pray to God that as the world gets colder and the hour gets darker, that we never lose our fight. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. I pray we never lose our fight. I pray we never lose our fire. He said, upon this rock, I'm going to establish my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I'm going to establish my kingdom on earth. That hell and society is going to try and impose itself on the church. But the question should be asked this morning is how will the church respond in the face of adversity? Come on, we're going to take a little plane ride this morning. And we're going to hit a little turbulence. And I promise I'll try and have you home in just a little while. But Joshua stands up with his family. And he gives a powerful but yet profound statement. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. I can't make you serve my God. I can't make you worship my God. I can't make you pray to my God. You choose to do what you want to do, and that's okay. But I've made a choice a long time ago. As for me and my house, no matter what comes against me, as for me and my house, we're going to pray when it's not proper to pray. I don't care what society says. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. As for me and my house. Because now it gets difficult. Because some of you here today, you've been placed, amen, in the front of that fiery furnace. And the king says, listen, when you hear the sound of the music, you better bow. The music starts playing. Everyone else starts bowing and they start worshiping God. But there was something inside of you that says, you know what? I believe I'll just stand right here. I believe I'll just stand, Brother Carl, when it's not popular to do in 2021. I believe I'll just serve God because I live by this revelation that I know he's able to show up and deliver me. But if he decides to take a break and he decides not to deliver me, I'm still not going to bow. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to you today that God's going to have a church, and it doesn't matter what comes against us. It doesn't matter what they say against us. It doesn't matter what they try to attack us. His church is going to be a thriving church. His church is going to be a prevailing church. And he's established his kingdom on the earth. You may ask the question, Brother Harper, what does God's church consist of? I'm glad you asked. His church consists of sinners saved by grace. People who are not perfect. People who still have troubles. But we realize that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. For no man can serve two masters. You got to make up in your mind today because tomorrow's not guaranteed. No man can serve two masters. You got to love one. You got to hate the other. You have to make up in your mind today. In the midst of everything that's going around us, I'm going to be a part of the church. Because when everything else fails and the economy crashes and this world goes to hell, I'm still part of a church that's going to be victorious in the end. He gave his church dominion. Somebody shout dominion. And he gave his church power. Dominion simply means authority. He gave the church the authority. Amen. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be a witness. The question I want to ask this morning, amen, does anybody have the Holy Ghost today? Has anybody ever spoken in tongues as the Spirit of God has given you the utterance? Can I just ask you to stand there and testify? As if it had not been for Jesus to come onto the inside, I'd still be lost. If it hadn't been for Jesus to come, we need did, I still be a wreck, but he found me just in time. He came to my rescue at that moment, and that same Jesus is here right now. He's still looking, he's still searching. The Bible says, amen, and such was added to the church daily. That means that revival was spreading. And it was just not based upon a simple move, but the Bible says that every single day, folks is being added to the church daily, such as should be. See, every single day, the church was in revival. Not enough just to repent. Amen. But they were being baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Because anytime revival starts to spread, the enemy loves to show his hand. Amen. When God starts to move. It was at that point when we read about this man who stepped into the world by the name of John the Baptist, because he was spreading the gospel. Amen. Because he was having effect. Because he was preaching the kingdom of God. Amen. Upon the earth. Amen. The Bible tells us, amen, as Herod is here, the Bible says that they asked him, "What do you desire?" He didn't desire riches. He didn't desire fame or wisdom. But the one thing he desired was the head of John the Baptist on the platter. Why, preacher? Because he wanted to stop the gospel. He wanted to silence the voice of the preacher in that day. He wanted to silence the church. But can I tell you that the church is still making a noise? The church is still moving full throttle. We're still moving ahead. Yes, we're going through some difficult times. And yes, we have problems. But the church is still moving on. We have not lost our enthusiasm. We've not lost our passion. And we've not lost our fire. We're still laying hands on sick folk. And God is healing them. God is still opening up the prison doors. And people are getting set free. I come to issue a warning to you today that the devil's on the loose trying to take out the church. And if he can't get to you, he'll get to those things that hold a lot of value to you. You know, how can you, you know how you can tell when hell is fighting somebody? Because there's no worship. They lose their prayer life. They lose their enthusiasm. But also hear me this. Hell will only fight those who are a threat to what he's doing. I heard a man the other day, we were talking, a conversation, pastor. And he said, man, he said, Brother Harper, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm preaching the gospel and I'm fighting all kinds of devils. And he said, man, he said, I never fight the devil. I begged the question. I said, well, there's something wrong with you, because hell's not concerned about the pretty boy. Hell's not concerned about if you're rich or poor, if you have things all right together. Hell doesn't even care if you come to the house of God and sit on the pew. But the moment you raise your hands and the moment you lift your voice and the moment you say Jesus, hell takes special notice to you, because now you become a threat to what hell's trying to do. And you're not going to just sit there like a lump on the log and let the hell run all over your family, but you're going to stand to your feet and declare to the devil, I'm going to be the church in the last days. I'm going to keep walking with Jesus. I'm going to keep talking with Jesus. I'm going to keep sustaining what the Holy Ghost wants to do in my life. Hear me. If you're in this building and you're breathing, God has purpose and he has a plan for your life. I don't care what side of the tracks you come from. As long as you're breathing, there's a purpose for your life. And if the enemy today is trying to distract you with the things of this world. Hear me, I know we've got a coronavirus. I know about that. I know, amen, we got social unrest and we've got social injustice, all this stuff going on around us. And then the devil's trying to get you, the church, to a place where we focus more on CNN and we focus more on Facebook than we do the kingdom of God. He's trying to get you to a place where you stop praying. Come on, where you want to stay home. You know you should be. I don't mean to apologize today, but come on, the church has to be unified. We got to come together. And if he can keep you isolated, if he can keep you isolated, hear me, He does his best work when he works between your ears. He works on your mind. He convinces you that God doesn't love you, that you're not, come on, hear me, somebody today. The reason you're here today is because you searched for answers in the wrong places. The reason you're here today is you're looking for the real thing. And I've come to remind you today that this is the real thing. It's not the painting on the walls. It's not the preacher who's preaching. It's because there's a God in this place who's took your dirty black sins and dipped your red blood, and he can make you white as snow. And the reason that we're here today is because the church is prevailing. Come on, let's all stand. Hear me, the church. The attack is real. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm as much as you may hate me, I'm not your problem. As much as you may hate your in-laws, they're not your problem. The Bible says we're wrestling against flesh. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities, and we're wrestling against powers. That if they can cause division in the home, division in the church, the devil's convinced that if he can attack the head of the church, that the sheep will scatter. He's so convinced, if I can ever get to that pastor, if I can ever get to his wife, I'm convinced that the sheep will scatter. If I can't get to his, can't get to the pastor, and I can't get to, amen, his wife, then I'll get to those things that matter most to them. I'll get to their kids. He'll try to cause division among the house, because if he knows, if I can somehow cause a wedge, he is convinced that the sheep will scatter. That's why we preach. You gotta keep your guard up. You gotta be on the lookout. Because church, this thing is not going to get any better. I heard somebody put on their Facebook earlier this year, they said, you know, whoever prayed for 2020 to be a better year, please don't pray this year. But I've learned something, Brother Biddle. 2020 was a rough year. My God, listen, if you wasn't affected by 2020, my God, you need to be preaching. 2020 had an impact on everybody in this room. Countless people have lost their lives because of this virus. Then not to mention we step into a season where there's racial tension. All this junk taking place. And it's easy to lose focus of the big. Everybody wants to go out and buy shotguns and want to do this and want to do this. Now we're praying 2020, 2021 is going to be better. It's got to be better than this. But man, we turn the page on a new year and we got all these new year resolutions. But we step into 2021 with the same problems, if not worse. We got killings and murders and all this stuff taking place. But there's one thing I know to be true, is that the same God that kept us in 2020 is the same God that's going to keep us in 2021. Because even though the world may change and society may change and circumstances may change, he's a God that never changes. And if he kept you back then, he has the power to keep you right now. And if God sustained you last year, he can sustain you right now. Come on, every hand raised in the building, every eye closed in the house. Every hand raised, every eye closed. Thank you. Church, it's time for revival. If you don't hear nothing else this preacher says, you hear me well right now. If you're going to be part of the church, it's time to be the church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to establish my church. And they're going to be attacked. They're going to be ridiculed. They're going to be made fun of. They're going to be pushed in a corner. But the Holy Ghost says the church needs to understand this. That they're going to attack us. Oh, yeah. But they're never going to prevail against the church. He's going to attack your mind, but he's not going to prevail. What makes up the church? The building? No. The church consists of those who made their way to an altar, who've repented of their sins. They laid some things down. They were baptized in a watery grave in Jesus' name. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Friend, that's the church today. And I'm looking at people today that are part of the body of Christ. If you're here today in this building, I want you to do me a favor. If you are a part of the body of Christ, I want you to throw your hands in there and I want you to pray. Because there are people in this building who have not repented of their sins. There are people here today who've not been baptized in Jesus' name. There are people here today who don't even have the Holy Ghost. And they're thinking, well, preacher, I came to church today. I'm a good guy. I give to the poor. Listen, that's not good enough. When you stand before God, this loving God, he's going to look in your face, recognize your name, look in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if he can't find your name in this book, then you're not a part of the church. Everybody wants to go. Everybody wants to go, amen, to a land that flows with milk and honey. Everybody wants to go to a place where there'll be no more sickness and there'll be no more heartaches and there'll be no more troubles. But everyone doesn't want to do what it takes to get there. So as the church begins to pray, as those who've been called out of darkness into this marvelous light begins to pray, if you're in this building today, you've never repented of your sins, never been baptized in Jesus' name, the question is, what are you waiting on? The church is moving on. The church is thriving. We're going to see revival. God's going to fill this house. You're going to start knocking down walls. They're going to start coming. Why? Because God's getting ready to add to the church daily such as should be saved. Come on, make up. I want to be a part of what God's doing. I don't want to sit on those fringes. I want to get right to where God is moving. I'm going to open this altar right now in Jesus' name. Here's what's going to happen. Holy Ghost is moving right now as we speak. Hear me, just because you're part of the church doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. I'm preaching to people who are part of the church and you're wounded spiritually. Holy Ghost told me to tell you God wants to take those wounds, those scars. He wants to take the hurt and the pain and the bitterness. He wants to take the heaviness that you brought in this building. He wants you to put your heaviness upon him so God can put you back where you need to be. You may not be, amen, what you want to be, but thank God you're not what you used to be. He's still working on us. Right now in Jesus, I'm going to open this altar right now. I'm going to ask the church. God is getting you ready for revival. Don't think that God has not heard every prayer. He has not seen every tear. He knows exactly what he's doing. But today, there's a call for the church to stand up and let's simply be the church. I'm going to open this altar right now, Jesus.